That amount of garbage is roughly the equivalent of 5,582 Titanics, which comes out to approximately 1,760 pounds per person per year. Now think about that. If you take a man who weighs 170 pounds and you multiply him by 10, that's about how much garbage you're producing every year. Hello, and welcome to the New Humans for New Earth podcast. I'm Queenie, your host. And on this podcast, we believe that every human alive today has a role to play in helping to co-create a new, more loving, and more aligned world. Here, we introduce you to wisdom, perspectives, and information to support and inspire you in making more aligned choices in your life. And if you're just joining us, and you're looking around at this world we have created with a bit of shock, and if you're asking yourself, what can I do? Then this podcast is for you. It's increasingly obvious that we need collective action to address the issue of climate change. Meanwhile, our business leaders are leading us straight into ecological collapse. They are attempting to extract as much profit from our communities and our planet as possible, even if it means destroying our home. And they are doing so with the support and cooperation of our government. This takes the form of domestic terrorism, tax breaks and bailouts, illegal military action in foreign countries to secure oil reserves, as well as the increasing implementation of an authoritarian regime in order to enforce this agenda. So how do we opt out of supporting this effort? And how instead can we opt in to supporting people, businesses, and practices that will lead us into the more loving and more aligned world we all know is possible? That is, how can we take steps out of the old paradigm and into New Earth? So today, I want to talk with you about a subject that you may not spend a lot of time thinking about, and that's trash. Or as I've been thinking about it recently, big garbage. I think it's really common for most people to think, I put my trash out once a week, it gets picked up, it goes to landfill, end of story. But there's a lot more going on here. Let's start with some numbers. There are currently 3,000 active landfills in the US alone. Each of those landfills has an average size of about 600 acres, which means that there are 1.8 million acres of land in the US being used for landfill. Taken together, all of these landfills are larger than the state of Delaware. And that's just active landfills. There are an additional 10,000 inactive landfills across the United States. And thinking globally, it's estimated that there are 100,000 landfills across the world. The US literally holds the world record for the largest landfill. The Apex Regional Landfill, located outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, covers an area of roughly 2,200 acres. That's roughly the equivalent of 1,250 football fields. Let's let that sink in. The U.S. holds the record for waste production as well. Every year, we generate approximately 292 million tons of garbage, or what's known in the industry as municipal solid waste. That amount of garbage is roughly the equivalent of 5,582 Titanics, which comes out to approximately 1,760 pounds per person per year. Now think about that. If you take a man who weighs 170 pounds and you multiply him by 10, that's about how much garbage you're producing every year. What this breaks down to on a daily basis is that Americans are generating 4.9 pounds of garbage every day. Now, to put all of this into context for you, the US accounts for only 4% of the global population, but we are responsible for producing 12% of the world's yearly garbage output. Now, if you're wondering why we produce so much waste, I think it basically breaks down into two reasons. The first is lack of attention and lack of education. For those of you watching on video, here's a chart that the EPA put out breaking down all of the waste that went into landfill in 2018 by category. And if you take a close look, about 85% of what went into landfill in 2018 didn't need to go there. 21.4% of all waste that went to landfill was food scraps. Right behind that was plastics, coming in at 18.5%. The biggest category after that was paper and paperboard, which was accounted for 11.8%. And then you have metals, which accounted for 9.5%, yard trimmings, 7.2%, and glass, 5.2%. I think the second reason we generate so much waste is money. Think about it. Corporations have an active interest in you generating more waste. Because every time you throw something out, it's an opportunity for them to sell you something new. In addition to this, the global waste management industry is estimated to be worth $252 billion every year. But there are other drawbacks to landfills. Besides being an eyesore, landfills contribute to decreased property values, the destruction of wildlife habitat, as well as the occurrence of birth defects, cancers, and other mysterious illnesses in nearby populations. Landfills are also a major source of the greenhouse gases methane and carbon dioxide, which contribute to climate change. Landfills are also responsible for the production of a substance called leachate, which is a liquid that forms as water moves through the layers of the landfill, picking up dissolved substances. It contains high amounts of ammonia, mercury, and other contaminants and toxins. And despite the fact that modern landfills are designed with liners to prevent leaks, leaks remain common. And leachate can contaminate groundwater, as well as creating dead zones in local ecosystems where animals are unable to survive. So big garbage is a big problem. But we need to be real with ourselves, because that's how we take our power back. And we need to realize that we have been participating in the creation of this waste. That this waste is coming from our homes and our choices. But we can make other choices, and we can lessen our support of companies and, frankly, a whole industry that benefits from an ever-increasing output of waste. An industry that is literally profiting off of creating toxic trash heaps all over the world. So today, I'd like to invite you to do what I refer to as a trash audit. Over the next week, or ideally the next month, you'll be getting up close and personal with your waste stream. And this will help you identify all of the ways that you are supporting big garbage. And it will also help you identify all of the ways that you can start opting out. So at the end of this exercise, I hope that you will have a good head start on starting to reduce your trash output, as well as a good sense of what your New Earth homework will be. Okay? Before we dive into this exercise, if it's safe for you, I want to invite you to close your eyes. And as you have your eyes closed, I'd like you to visualize all the sort of different ways that you are supporting big garbage. Now, I know you don't have the concrete sort of details for this, so rather than that, I want you to imagine it as a sticky substance that's covering your skin, or maybe sort of more on point, you know, you could imagine the juice that comes out of like an old garbage bag, right? And you can imagine it dripping on your hair and onto your skin, right? And kind of all down your body. If you prefer, you can think of the Matrix sort of imagery of the plugs going down your arms, right? And once you have that image in mind, I want you to take your arms and I want you to start brushing it off and making yourself clean, right? So you can wipe off your face, Brush all of that off your arms. Get them nice and clean. And shake out your hands and get it all off your hands. And I'd like to invite you to say, no, thank you. No, thank you. I do not consent to participate in the production of all of this unnecessary waste. Just exhale that. Okay. All right. Now you can open back your eyes back up. Thank you for doing that with me. Okay. So first things first. You have to recycle right. Now look, I'll be real with you. There are plenty of limitations and problems with our current recycling system. Noted, right? But we need to start with where we are, and we need to take advantage of the solutions and the systems that are available to us. So let's focus on the good and let's lean in, okay? Because if I've learned anything from this exercise of trying to reduce my trash output, it's that we need to engage in more trash sorting, not less. And we will probably also down the line need to engage in some pretty heavy regulations about what kinds of materials suppliers are allowed to use. You may be sitting there thinking to yourself, Queenie, I know how to recycle. It's easy. Paper, metal, plastic, glass. I got it. But it's just not as simple as that. Our current recycling system is incredibly confusing. And I think that some of that confusion is intentional. I think it's actually meant to overwhelm you with misleading information. One example of this is the recycling symbol that you'll see on all of your plastics. Most people see that and they think, oh, this thing is recyclable, and they put it in their curbside recycling. But that's actually not what it means. The little arrows that you see mean nothing. In fact, I think that they were largely just a PR campaign by corporations to say, hey, we're doing our part, this is recyclable. But all it means is that this piece of plastic is theoretically recyclable, okay? That's all it means. The only real informative part of that sign is the number. And that number tells you what kind of plastic it is, okay? But that doesn't mean that that piece of plastic is recyclable in your curbside program, because every place is different. And the reason for that is because every place has different sorting facilities and different contracts. Now, just to give you an example, in Portland, we don't even look at the numbers. Our system goes by size and shape of the container. I didn't realize that until I also made sure that I was recycling right. So while I would love to sit here and tell you how to recycle, I can't, because you likely exist under a different recycling regime than I do. So what you need to do is you need to get online and find the guidelines for your local area. Take 10 minutes to review them. Better yet, print out a copy and put it on your refrigerator or near your recycling bin, and just get into the habit of referring to it. And again, I know this sounds basic, but I'm sitting here telling you to do this, and I did this myself a few months ago and realized that I had been throwing something away that was actually recyclable. So it's worth the time. So please get online and find your local recycling regulations. Take 10 minutes to look them over. And the other thing is that there's real costs to doing this wrong, right? If you're wishful recycling or putting things into recycling that don't belong there because you hope that they'll figure it out, or if you're putting a bunch of trash into your recycling, the likelihood is that your recycling will end up in landfill, okay? I live in a multi-residential building, and I have a neighbor who has no respect for the recycling system. He throws his trash into our recycling bin all of the time. despite me trying to talk with him about it. Don't be this guy. And I just have to live with the fact that even though I'm rinsing out my cat food tins and doing my best to make sure that my recycling is as clean as possible, it's likely ending up in landfill because of this guy. The second part of this exercise is to start composting your food waste. According to the EPA, in 2019, we generated 66.2 million tons of food waste, and only 5% of that was composted. And that data is 7 years old, so I'm sure the numbers are bigger now. And if you recall from the chart earlier, food waste makes up approximately 1/4 of all waste that ends up in a landfill. And nearly half of the greenhouse gas emissions that come from landfills are from decomposing food. Food waste isn't supposed to decay in the conditions that exist in a landfill. It's supposed to be returned to the earth because it's good for the soil. Composting allows the nutrients that exist in our food waste to go back into the soil to nourish the next generation of food so that that next generation of food can nourish us. It's meant to exist in a cycle, right? Food grows, gets harvested, the plant starts to decay, go back down, and then the food waste goes back into the earth. But what we've done is we've taken this cycle and we've made it into a straight line. Food is grown, it goes to the store, we eat it, the waste goes into landfill. What this means is that we are sending all of the nutrients in our food waste to get contaminated with the chemicals and other toxins that exist in landfills. We have to stop doing this. We need to get reconnected with the fact that food is a miracle, okay? It's so easy, especially if you're living in an urban environment, to get disconnected from this idea. But for me, this really came home about a year ago. I realized that I didn't know how to grow food. And in light of the circumstances, this made me really uncomfortable. And so something that I started doing was working to teach myself, how do I grow food? And, you know, to be honest, I'm working under some adverse conditions, right? Like my space is all indoors, so I have my own little like indoor garden that's happening. But over the months that have passed since I've started doing this, like the overall takeaway that I have is, oh my God, it is a miracle that there is as much food as there is. Okay, and I'm saying that it is a miracle, okay? The fact that a little itty-bitty seed can grow into a whole plant, already a miracle. Then the fact that that plant then grows with some inputs, right, and then can create a fruit or a vegetable that we can then eat, also miraculous. I don't understand how it works still, and I'm definitely not a master of this art. If that's too abstract for you, let's take a different example. Think about a piece of pizza, okay? Like, think about everything that goes into making a piece of pizza. They had to grow wheat. Someone had to grow wheat and then harvest it and then mill it so that it would become flour to make the crust, right? Someone had to grow a bunch of tomatoes and then harvest them and then process them into paste and then make that paste into sauce. For the cheese, depending on whether it's dairy or vegan, I mean, those are totally different processes. I've never tried to make vegan cheese, but like, you know, or any kind of cheese, but it's a whole thing, right? And then those are just the ingredients. In addition to that, some other person had to put all those ingredients together and make it and put it in the oven and then cut it and serve it to you. And just when you consider all of the little connective points in there, all of the places where that process could have failed and didn't and resulted in a delicious piece of pizza that you are now getting to eat, it's honestly, it's mind-blowing for me. That we have as much food as we do. So the point is that food is a miracle and we need to be more mindful of it and especially how we handle our food waste. Because while this world is vast, it is not limitless. And putting all of the nutrients from our food waste is truly wasting a gift. Because once those food nutrients get in there, they're not coming back out. They're in there forever. And they get mixed with all of the chemicals and all of the toxins and all of the contaminants in there. We have to stop doing this. Here's a benefit of composting that may not be immediately apparent to you. Your garbage smells because you have food waste decaying in your garbage. So if you separate out your food scraps, you will have to take out your garbage less frequently, and it will smell less gross. Getting started composting can be very easy. Just go to your local thrift store, find a container for it. I have this airtight food storage container that I got that sits under my sink right next to my trash. I see secondhand compost containers all the time at the thrift store. I knew a friend who he just put his in some sort of container. He would keep his in the freezer because for him that cut down on smells and flies. For me, the sealed, the vacuum sealed food saver does that. But there's all kinds of options out there, and you do not have to spend a ton of money on this. We have to be better about our food waste. We have to start seeing it as the precious resource that it is and stop sending it to be trapped with toxins and other contaminants in landfills forever, and instead start sending it back to the earth through composting. Now, the good news is that composting is easier than ever. Most major cities these days have a curbside food waste pickup program. Now, in Portland, for instance, if you have a house and you have a yard waste bin, you can put your food waste in that yard waste bin. And if you are one of those people, this is your friendly reminder to start putting your food waste into those bins, because I know a lot of you aren't. These curbside programs are technically also open to multi-residential housing, like apartment buildings, as well as businesses, like restaurants. My sort of informal anecdotal observation is that most apartment buildings are not participating in this program. So, if you live in one of these apartment buildings, like I do, reach out to your management and ask them to add this service. If they resist for whatever reason, ask them what you can do to show them that residents want this. If you still get a no, you still have options. One thing you can do is find a friend, a significant other, a neighbor, a coworker who has a house, has a yard waste bin, and ask them if you can put your food scraps there. I've done this myself a number of times, and I have even driven my food scraps half an hour across town to put in a friend's bin. Most recently, I found out that one of my former colleague of mine actually lives just a few blocks away, so I just walk it over there. If you don't have a friend or a colleague or a neighbor that you know, you can still reach out to someone. Something you can do is just check out someone's bumper stickers or just their property and sort of see if they've got that open-minded new humans vibe. You can tell, okay? Leave them a note. Hey, I'm one of your neighbors. It's really important to me that I compost my food waste, but I live in an apartment. Would it be okay with you if I put my food scraps in your yard waste bin? Here's my email. Please reach out to me about details. Thank you so much. Super easy. You could also potentially reach out to community gardens in your area and see if they're willing to take your food scraps. Okay. I just want to acknowledge that households are not responsible for all of this. Food service and food retail, like grocery stores and restaurants, contribute significantly to our production of food waste. So if you work in this industry, or if you were a decision maker in one of these businesses, please look into this. See if there is a compost pickup service available in your area and take it to leadership. because we all have to do our part to decrease our production of food waste. Now, before we move on from this topic, like, I think that there is a business opportunity here for someone, right? Like, just as we have door-to-door pickups for hard-to-recycle items, I think there's space here for door-to-door pickups of food waste. So if you're listening to this and you're looking for a business opportunity, some way to support yourself while also helping New Earth, that's it, okay? Take a look.
For me, I think the most daunting thing about committing to recycle more is figuring out what to do with it all. If it doesn't go in the recycling bin, where does it go? And suddenly it piles up and you haven't figured it out. And then it ends up in the trash anyways, because it had to go somewhere. And now you have a defeatist attitude around the whole thing. I get it. But I wouldn't leave you hanging. As you're going through your trash audit, or anytime you need a recycling answer, know that you can head to earth911.com. It's a comprehensive database of recycling facilities and services in North America. Just head to earth911.com and click Where to Recycle. There, you'll enter the item and your zip code, and it will provide you with a list of facilities and services in your area. Easy. Earth911.com also offers tons of guidance on what to do with hard-to-recycle items. And I'll just mention a few of my favorite solutions located here in Portland. New Seasons Market accepts plastic film, clear clamshells, and other PET plastics, packing peanuts, as well as those rigid plastic can carriers. James Recycling takes all kinds of hard-to-recycle plastics and styrofoam for a small fee. Free Geek accepts a wide range of technology and electronics for recycling and reuse. Way of Being on Hawthorne offers a cosmetics container drop-off. And Your Optometrist likely accepts contact waste for recycling. If you don't live in Portland, find and share the outlets near you. There are solutions out there. And honestly, I think there's a business idea here for someone. Because the best solution would be to have centralized depots at grocery stores, for instance. If this idea speaks to you, look into it. All right, let's get back into the episode.
Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty, your trash. Now, there are certain categories of items that do not belong in your trash ever. First off, batteries. Batteries can explode and cause fires and lead to injuries to sanitation workers. In addition to this, they can leak substances that contaminate the soil and groundwater. And they also contain non-renewable resources like lithium. So when you throw them into the landfill, not only are you leading to potential water contamination, but you are also trapping that non-renewable resource, i.e. a resource which only has a finite existence on this planet, to be lost in a landfill. Don't do it. Instead, you want to find a place that takes batteries for recycling. More and more grocery stores are doing this, but you may also just have to find a specialty drop-off. Okay. A second category of items is e-waste. This includes things like cell phones, laptops, tablets, computers, chargers, cables, earbuds, and even vapes. Just like batteries, these things can cause fires as well as leak toxins into landfills. They also have a ton of non-renewable resources in them. So find a trade-in program or find somewhere that will take donations. And at the very least, find an e-waste drop-off site. A third category of items is household cleaners. These can contain chemicals that are corrosive, flammable, or toxic. And if sent to landfill, they can contaminate water and soil. So for these items, you want to find a household hazardous waste drop-off site. The final category of items I'll mention here is old clothes and fabrics. According to the EPA, 11.3 million tons of textiles get sent to landfill every year. And as these decompose, they can release methane, as well as toxic chemicals and dyes into the soil and groundwater. And honestly, just hearing that makes me wonder about what it is that we are putting on our bodies and I will have another episode on that subject real soon. But what you want to do with these items is, one, donate them. You can donate them to your local thrift store if they're in good repair. I've been taking more and more things to my local homeless shelter because I know that those people have a greater need for clothing that is warm and in good repair. You can also use older, less usable clothes as rags in your household. And worst case scenario is find somewhere that will take drop-offs for fabric recycling. And I have an option that I will mention later. Okay, so now you're recycling right and you're composting your food scraps. That means that you have already reduced your landfill waste output by at least a quarter. Good job. Now let's take this further. I want you to find two containers. It can be a paper bag, it can be a box, whatever works for you. And I want you to put them next to your waste bin. In one of them, I want you to put all of the plastic items that you cannot put in your curbside recycling, but that would normally otherwise go to landfill, right? So this will be plastic bags, saran wrap, zip ties. You can tell what's going on with Queenie. Whatever sort of food packaging, right? All of these things will go in that box. Now, in the second one, I want you to put disposables. So this means paper towels, napkins, makeup remover wipes, this kind of thing, okay? And as the week or the month or however long you were doing this audit continues, just every time you see something that goes into one of those categories, you put it in the right box, okay? Now at the end of your audit period, however long that is for you, I want you to go and look at your three bins: landfill, plastics, disposables. And I want you to look for patterns and repeat players and also anything that you can eliminate. So if you're looking in your landfill bin and you see 20 coffee cups, that's a sign for you. Maybe you should get a reusable coffee cup rather than relying on the disposable ones that just go straight to landfill because they can't be recycled because they have that plasticky coating on them, okay? Or maybe you see things in there where there are very obvious, easy substitutions, like more ecologically friendly substitutions. For instance, you know those bubble envelopes? Not the fully plastic ones, but the ones that have paper on the outside and that plastic bubble wrap on the inside? Those are just garbage, and there is no reason to be using them anymore. So if you are buying them and putting them into circulation, please stop. Please. In your plastics bin, is there anything that you could find a more eco-friendly solution for? Are you seeing certain brand names come up over and over again? Are you opting for certain foods at the grocery store that come in plastic packaging where you could make a different change, right? Are you just using a bunch of those like plastic produce bags? You don't have to, okay? And then when you look in your disposables bin, the question there is, can I replace this with a reusable permanent solution? Now, a really good example is paper towels and paper napkins. I know that these items have become so mundane in our society anymore, but there is no need for them. I use what was marketed as paperless paper towels, but they're just nice kitchen cloths that I use instead of paper towels. And I also use fabric napkins, which I made myself, but you can buy them as well. And the only difference is that you wash them and then you use them again. And eventually they need to be replaced. But I will just say that like eating a meal with a fabric napkin over a paper napkin feels so much better. It feels a little bit more, I don't know, dignified might be a good word for it. So I'm not here trying to tell you exactly what to do. This is your personal journey and you have to figure out like what is an option for you. As you look in your plastics bin, I want you to ask, is there a more eco-friendly version of this? Is there one that's made out of more natural materials? Is there a version of this that comes in less packaging? And for all of the plastics in there that you are unable to eliminate from your waste stream, I want you to make a plan for what you are going to do with that plastic. Now, that could be a service that you buy, it could be a drop-off that you go to. In my case, I actually, and no one is paying me to say this, I am just saying this because this is too important to hide behind a paywall. I have a Ridwell bin, and it is like the linchpin to my waste stream management strategy. I do also have an additional bin that has plastics that I cannot put either in my curbside recycling or my Ridwell bin, and I go periodically and I drop that off at a offsite collector. But you know, I'll just give it away. I have a Ridwell bin. Use it, get one. The last question to ask yourself as you're going through your bins is, are there any brands that you're seeing over and over again? If you are, this might be a good indication that it's time to rethink your relationship with that brand. But if it's a brand that you care a lot about or you really like their product, maybe instead what you do is you reach out to them and you tell them what you've done as far as your trash audit goes. And you say, I'm noticing that as a result of loving your brand so much, I am ending up with all of this garbage that I don't have a good solution for. Can you please switch to recyclable or compostable packaging? Now, the worst that they can say is no, but they might hear you and they might make a change, and then you get to impact everyone else who loves that brand as well. So once you've gone through all your bins and you've made note of your patterns and your repeat players, I want you to make a list. Make a list of the things that you're going to eliminate, the things that you're going to find alternatives for, as well as the things that you need to find a recycling solution for. Your batteries, your e-waste, your plastics, etc. And then take on one or two of these a month. If it's something that you buy somewhat frequently, you can do it this way. When you run out, you can decide that you are going to find the more eco-friendly version when you buy the next one, as opposed to continuing to buy the one that is problematic. Okay, and then that can kind of fit into your life a little bit more organically. Okay. Now, about 2 years ago, I did a trash audit myself. It was a more limited version than what I just walked you through, because I had actually already done a lot of these steps naturally. But what I was curious about was how much plastic waste I was generating from my bathroom trash. And for those of you watching on video, here's a photo of what I found. And for those of you who were just hearing my voice, there will be a link to this photo in the show notes. Some of the items that stood out to me as a result of my bathroom trash audit were lotion containers, toothpaste tubes, floss, and my razors. And in the months that followed, just like I'm asking you to do, I have found plastic-free, more eco-friendly versions of these items. In the episodes to come, I will share some of these solutions with you, just like I hope that you share some of the solutions that you find with your community. So that's it for our show today. I hope that you feel inspired to go home, make sure you're recycling right, start composting your food waste, and to get into the nitty-gritty to see all of the ways that you are unwittingly supporting big garbage. I want to leave this on a bright note, because what the data from the EPA shows us is that there is a very clear path to reducing our waste output by 50 or even 75%. Most of the items that we are sending to landfill do not belong there. All it takes is some more attention, some more mindfulness, some dedication, and some recognition and acknowledgement that this world is what we make it, that this world is valuable, it is worth protecting, and it is worth bringing some more mindfulness to what it is that we are sending to landfill. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the New Humans for New Earth podcast. I'm Queenie. If you found this episode to be inspirational, helpful, or informative, please share it with your friends, your partner, a family member, or anyone that you love. If you loved this episode, please leave us a review. And be sure to subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. This is how we grow the New Humans community and inspire others to join us in co-creating New Earth. This world is what we make it. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.